Tonight is our third message out of the study of Psalm chapter 1, and we know if you were here and you paid attention and you've given some thought to it, you know that in the first message we looked at verse number 1 and talked about the man who is blessed or the woman who is blessed, and we talked about how if a person wants to be blessed, it requires a choice on the part of that person. A person does not just accidentally enjoy the blessings of God in their life, and so it requires a choice. And so in verse number 1, we looked at what was said. The writer said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." A blessed man will not take on the mindset and the philosophy and the thinking of the ungodly. He said that they will not stand in the way of sinners, meaning they're not going to associate and get close to those who can live in sin without any guilt and without any remorse. And then he said they will not sit in the seat of the scornful, meaning that there are people out there who scorn, who mock, who laugh at the truth of the Word of God. And we're not going to situate ourselves and position ourselves with those who have such a mindset or those who have such an attitude. We are going to avoid those people as much as possible. And so if we want to be blessed, those are some choices that have to be made. And then last week, in continuing that thought, we looked in verse number 2 and watched as the psalmist said this, that there is delight in the law of the Lord from the one who desires to be blessed. You and I should receive pleasure from God's word. There is something wrong when a child of God does not receive pleasure in the word of God. And he said, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So you and I ought to be men and women who meditate, who give attention to, who focus on the truth of God's word. If we can go throughout our daily lives and the Word of God doesn't really impact our way of thinking and it doesn't really impact our way of living, then something is not right. And unfortunately, it happens more than we'd care to know. It really does. And that's just a reality of the modern-day Christian life. But tonight, we're going to move on, and as we do, I'd like us to think about something. I want us to think about this truth, this principle, that if you and I do something long enough, and if we do it the correct way, we are going to see results at some point. Just make sense? That if I do something long enough and I do it the correct way, if I do it the way that I am supposed to, I will at some point see results. The results may not happen as quick as I'd like them to happen. They may not take place as quickly as I would like for them to take place, or maybe as quickly as someone else would like to see them take place. But if I will give myself to do something long enough and in the right manner, I will see results. See, if I were to take serious the idea of playing the piano and I began to approach it with a measure of seriousness, at this age, though I might say, well, I just can't do certain things, you know, I just don't have the capabilities that I had when I was younger. That sounds fine, but really that's just a cop-out and that's just an excuse. If I were to approach it correctly and with seriousness and with dedication, I would get better at playing the piano. Sure. You don't sound too convinced, but it's true. If that were important to me and I gave myself to it, I would see results. If you and I got serious about exercise, which most of us aren't, but if we did, at some point we would see some results. If we truly took diet and exercise serious, we would see results. And you could put anything in that blank you wanted to. If this became important to us, if this became something that had priority in my life, and this was something that was important to me, if I gave myself to it, at some point there would be some visible results that I could see and that others could see, and you would be able to tell, you know what, they took that serious. They did. Now, I want us to think about the spiritual life. Is the spiritual life any different than any other area of our life? Well, in some ways it is, but in all reality it's not. See, the reality is this, is that if I take my spiritual life serious, I am going to see results. I will. If you take your spiritual life serious, there will be visible, tangible results that you can look to and say, based upon my level of commitment and based upon my level of seriousness and based upon the level of priority it had in my life, because my spiritual life became important to me and I gave myself to it, I can see the results in my life from that decision I've made. But see, here's what happens in a lot of people's spiritual lives. They approach it like they do so many other things in life. They want to give lip service to the idea that it's important, but they don't really want to change anything to prove that it's important. So they like the idea of saying, well, my spiritual life is important, but it doesn't really change their priorities. They want to say, well, my spiritual life is important, but they don't really want to change any of their actions or any of their behavior. And as a result, for years, they will say something like this: my spiritual life is so important. The only problem is you never see any progress. You never see any progress. Or you see such minimal progress that you're saying to yourself, they ought to be a lot further along than what they are. And we can sit here like, well, I don't know. I'm telling you, if our spiritual life is important to us, there will be results that we and other people can see. We won't be able to hide it. We won't be able to conceal it. It will be obvious that our walk with God is important. Now this evening I want us to begin looking in verse number 3, because here's what's going to happen. We're going to watch as the writer of the psalm begins to explain some of the results of the serious child of God. These are not the results of the casual, what we would call, Christian. These will not be said of the person who is just kind of in and out and up and down in their Christian walk or in their Christian life. No, verse number 3, it begins to reveal the results of the person who truly desires to be blessed and is willing to make the choices required to be blessed by God. Verse number 3 is going to show us, okay, here is what happens when a person chooses to not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, and they choose not to stand in the way of the sinners, and they choose not to sit in the seat of the scornful. And this is the result of the person who decides to delight in the law of the Lord. And this is the result of what happens when a person decides to meditate in the law day and night. Verse number 3 is going to say, all right, here are some tangible, visible results of the one who takes their Christian life serious. If you don't take your Christian life serious, guess what? These things will not be said. They'll not be said. So what does the writer begin by saying in verse number 3? He says, but his delight, I'm sorry, verse number 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I did some studying on this week, and I tried to do some reading on this and trying to figure out, okay, what is the most likely explanation of what the writer was trying to explain when he penned these words? And what the consensus seems to be is this, is that the tree that is planted by the rivers of water is a tree that is grounded and a tree that is established. It is something that is unmovable regardless of what is taking place around it. A grounded, firm, established entity or being or thing. For the person who takes their spiritual life serious, for the person who is very serious about developing and growing their spiritual life, you know what they're going to be like? They will be like the tree that is established. So we could say it like this: for the one who takes their spiritual life serious, they are grounded and they are established and they are settled in their beliefs, in their identity, who they are as a child of God. And the outside forces of this world do not sway them or dictate to them or move them as to what they will or will not be. They are grounded, they are established, they are settled, they are unmoving. They are someone who is firm in their position because they love the Word of God, they meditate on the Word of God, and they do not want a worldly mindset, and they do not want to live like the ungodly, and they certainly don't want to live like the scorner. This evening, I am sure that you know this, but we live in a world that wants to dictate and influence our thoughts and our mind and our position and our heart. Amen. Do we understand this to be true? That we are living in a day and we are living in a society that wants to change our way of thinking, and it wants to change our way of approach, and it wants to change our sense of conviction of what is right and wrong. And it is happening on so many fronts that many times we don't even see every way in which we're trying to be influenced and swayed in our walk with God. I'm going to throw out some obvious things, okay? And I know that tonight we'll sit here and say, well, bless God, I ain't never changing my mind on that. Good, but it goes a bit deeper than this, okay? But imagine for just a moment the subject, or think for just a moment about the subject of homosexuality. According to the numbers, from what I'm told and things of that nature, homosexuality makes up less than 3% of our population. Less than 3% of our population. So that means 97% of the population is heterosexual in their relationships. And yet, what is the world wanting to do to us? The world is wanting to tell us that though it only be 3%, and though it be something that years ago was once condemned by everyone except those who engaged in the act, the world is now telling us that we need to take a softer stand and a softer approach on something like the subject of homosexuality. Well, you're just going to have to learn to accept it. You need to recognize that people are born that way. You can't be so bigoted. You can't be so narrow-minded. You can't be of such a harsh spirit. Now, follow this, please. There was once a day where everyone would say, you know, that is wrong. That is sinful. That is not natural. That is not normal. That is just a deviant lifestyle. And yet more and more and more, it has crept into even the so-called religious environment. And what do you think the world wants us to do? The world wants us to get to that same position in our spiritual lives where we wouldn't want to be critical. We wouldn't want to be harsh. We wouldn't want to be judgmental. We wouldn't want to sound too narrow-minded in dealing with this segment or this area of our population. And I'm telling you, if you think that so-called Christianity is not losing that battle, then you are not paying attention to what is happening in our society today. The so-called Christian world is becoming more and more friendly to a lifestyle that the Bible calls an abomination. And we can sit here tonight and say, well, it will never happen in my lifetime that I will accept it, or it'll never happen in my lifetime that the church I go to will accept it. It may not happen. But I'm telling you, it's happening more and more and more all the time. And if you think that the world does not want to sway us in that and change our position and cause us to not have the conviction and the settled mentality and the settled spirit that we have today, if you don't think the world doesn't want to change us, then you're just not being honest with what's happening in our society. Here's one for consideration. The Pope was recently in town, so to speak. Friends, the Catholic Church is not a Christian organization. It just isn't. It is not Christian. They do not believe in the same Christ of Scripture that we believe in. This Pope especially is not a friend to true Christianity. Now, I'm telling you, go out in today's society and culture today and let the average person know what you think of the priest or the Pope or the Father, the Holy Father, whatever he would be called by those in the church. Let them know what you believe about such a thing, and watch as the blood pressure of many begins to rise and their hatred towards you begins to be obvious. You know why? Because you should be accepting of this, and you should be thrilled by this, and you should be in awe of the Father coming to the United States and sharing with us his great words of wisdom. I read one pastor's post on Twitter or something of that nature, and he said something like this: I would rather get my direction from God himself than a man who wears a dress any day of the week. Now, friends, I'm telling you, do you know how many people would consider that to be hate speech? How dare you say something about the Holy Father? How dare you say something so harsh and critical of that nature? How dare you be of that mindset? You know what the world is trying to do? The world is trying to sway us into this way of thinking that would say something like this: isn't it wonderful? The Father stopped and he blessed someone. The Father stopped and prayed with someone. The Father ate with poor people. Big deal. But the world is trying to influence and to sway our way of thinking. Somebody says, well, I'm not ever going to be Catholic, and so I don't have to worry about that, so I must take my spiritual life serious. No, those are the big picture issues facing us. Things like homosexuality, things like a one-world church that is in the formation, things that are going to happen at some point, and it is going to try to suck us in and draw us in. But friends, it is on such a small scale where the world is trying to sway us. The world wants to tell us when to jump so that we will say and respond with, how high? Our priorities are so messed up in this society. They're so messed up. And it has affected the religious, the godly, those who would identify themselves supposedly as people who take their walk with God serious. Well, you know, I mean, we've got to do this. Why? Well, because somebody told me we had to do this. And our family, we have to do this. Well, why do you have to do this? Well, because that's what they're telling us we have to do. And why do you have to do this? Well, you know, somebody said that that's what time we were supposed to be there. So that's what time we're supposed to be there. And all around us, the world is saying, okay, now here is what a person who serves God is. It's the person who is grounded and settled and firm and established. And the world is pulling us here and pulling us here and pulling us here and pulling us here. And the true child of God who takes their spiritual life serious will realize, you know what, you're not pulling me here, and you're not pulling me here, and I'm going to take a stand here, and I'm sure I'll be unpopular here, and I'm sure it'll make this person mad, but it does not really matter because I have to do what is right and not adopt a worldly way of thinking. There are so many professing Christians who we used to refer to as, and I think it's still an acceptable terminology, they are so wishy-washy. You can't count on them for anything. Because it's, well, I don't know. Well, shucks. Okay, yeah. Oh, we're for it. Okay, yes, we're for it. We're against it. Oh, wait. Okay, now we're against it. What is my position on this? I'm telling you, that is how so many people live their Christian lives. No stability. no establishment in their personal relationship with the Lord. They are not at all like a tree that is planted by the waters. Notice what else he said in verse number 3. He said, they are the tree that is planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. A serious Christian is a fruit-producing Christian. It is a productive Christian. The child of God who takes their relationship with the Lord seriously is producing fruit of some sort of eternal value. Does this make sense? He brings forth his fruit in his season. It doesn't mean that every day was as fruitful as maybe they would like it to be. It doesn't mean necessarily that every week is as fruitful as they would like it to be. But this tree that has been planted by the rivers of water, they're going to produce fruit because of the source that it is closely connected to. It is that tree that is planted by the rivers of water that is going to bring forth fruit. People who take their spiritual lives serious, you will see fruit of a spiritual nature in their life. It ought to be visible. Somebody says, well, what kind of fruit is it supposed to be? There's a multitude of fruit that it could be. Does this make sense? Am I communicating this clearly? It could be the fruit of leading someone to salvation. That is fruit, is it not? I wish, and I mean this, and I have to pray about this, and I have to work on this, and I have to be mindful of this. I wish I were more fruitful in the area of seeing souls come to Christ. I have to remind myself, pray about this. I have to remind myself, talk to people about it. I have to remind myself and say, Lord, please help me to be the kind of Christian that invites the waiter, that invites the waitress, that talks to the neighbor, that talks to the person at the store. Be the person who is doing everything they know to do to try to see some fruit come by way of a spiritual reproduction by way of salvation. I'm not as fruitful as I'd like to be, but there's a burden to be fruitful. Sometimes it's not just in the area of seeing souls saved where there is fruit that comes, but sometimes it's the result of someone having a burden to invest in the life of someone else where there is actually potential to see some spiritual fruit come forth. You see someone and you recognize, okay, that is someone that I could spend some time with. That is someone that I could give myself to. That is someone that I could go out to lunch with, or we could have them over the house and I could invest in them and I could help them along in their spiritual lives. I want to invest in that kind of an opportunity for this purpose. It is producing fruit. A child of God has a desire to produce fruit. And if they truly want to separate themselves from the things of this world, and if they truly fall in love with the Word of God like they're supposed to, at some point there is going to be fruit to their lives. But how many Christians lose sight of the lost world around them? They completely lose sight of the lost world around them. Their neighbor is just the neighbor. Their co-worker is just the co-worker. Their whomever, that's just all it is. It's just the waiter. It's just the waitress. It's one of those things. I mean, they don't even think about it. You talk to them about, hey, be sure and grab some cards on your way out. Stick them in your car so that whenever you go out to eat, you can leave one on the table. Take those so that you can give one personally to the waiter or the waitress. Do this so that when you're at the grocery store, you can give them to them and just say something like this. Hey, I go to Grace Baptist Church, and I'd just like to give this to you and invite you to church. It doesn't have to be confrontational, but how many times do people who say they take their spiritual lives serious, it never even registers with them that is a soul that I could invite at least to church where they might hear of the gospel of Jesus Christ and hear how something might could change their life. When was the last time we passed out a tract? When was the last time we passed out an invitation? When was the last time we talked to someone about their walk with the Lord, their relationship with the Lord? Someone says, well, that's not my spiritual gift. Someone says, well, that's not really what I'm comfortable with. I just don't know what to say. Okay, then we got to answer this question. When was the last time we invested ourselves in someone else who was already saved, but we looked at them and we realized, you know what? I've got something that I could help them with, and I'm not going to go to them and say, hey, I can be a real help to you, but I recognize there is someone there and they've got potential, and I can invest in them. When was the last time we had a burden for something like that? It is so easy, is it not, to just come to church, sing the songs, give the offering, sit through the church service and just get up and leave and continue on with life as usual? A serious Christian is a fruitful Christian. Where's our fruit? Where is our fruit? Well, Brother Kyle, no. The Scripture says he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. For the one who wants to avoid the world's way of thinking and for the one who loves the Word of God, they will be established, they will be grounded, they will be settled, they will be unmovable, and because of that, there will be fruit that comes from that individual's life. Notice what else he says in verse number 3. His leaf also shall not wither. His leaf also shall not wither. What does it mean for something to wither? Well, it means to shrivel or to fade. We've all seen the withered leaf, have we not? It falls from the tree from which it receives its source of life. And as a result of falling from the tree or maybe being connected to a dead tree, what does it do? It begins to shrivel and it begins to fade, and it's no longer what it once was. I know I touched on this last week, but I want us to think about this, and I really want us to think about this, okay? I'll just leave it like that. When our Christian life is what it's supposed to be, it does not become mundane the longer we're saved. The Christian life, for the person who is truly trying to live it, the Christian life, even after 30, 40, 50 years of being saved, it's still an exciting way of life. It is something that they still enjoy. It is something that is still exciting to them. It is something that is still refreshing to them. It is something that they still enjoy. When a person takes their Christian life serious, they don't become the boring, old, cranky individual who calls themselves a child of God. And yet, how many people who call themselves Christians, they are so spiritually withered. Not that I want excitement and not that the Scripture calls for excitement, but it's almost like you couldn't excite them about the things of God to save their life. You know, I mean, they can hear a wonderful testimony and song, and they sit there and go, Just kind of chew their gum or mess with their teeth in their mouth, you know, just whatever they're doing. Did we just hear the same song? That was a powerful song, you know, whatever it may be. They sit through a church service and listen, I know I don't preach them very often, but I'm saying it's one of those church services where it is just evident that the power of God made himself revealed and made himself known, and the Spirit of God was working in the lives of people, and they sit there like this. No excitement. No passion. No sense of just energy about the things of God. Again, I'm not saying we've all got to be excited and crazy and weird in our emotions. You understand that, because that's not my personality to be such. But I mean, it ought to be that as a result of taking our spiritual lives serious, that one of the results would be is that it gets sweeter as the days go by. That the more that I serve him, the sweeter he grows. It ought to be that the relationship, because of its growth, is getting more and more thrilling to us, not more and more just normal. And this is what we do. So many people have the same relationship with the Lord that they have with their spouse. Not very warm. Not very passionate. Not much excitement. Just, I'm still married to her. Well, take it easy on the excitement. I'd hate for her to think that you still like her. You know what I mean? There are honestly people who have been saved so long, but they have taken their spiritual life with such little seriousness that if they were the only picture of Christianity that a person could see, you could understand why someone wouldn't want to be a Christian. Because if this is what Christianity produces in the life of a person over the long haul, I'm not interested. I'd rather take my chances with booze and drugs. I said that somewhat sarcastically, but what I'm saying is, come on, if this is exciting as it gets serving the Lord after 40, 50 years, I'm not interested. And how many times do the things of God not move us, not stir us, not any kind of an internal awakening that says, praise the Lord, that is incredible, that is wonderful, I am so thankful for that, hallelujah. And we get to be one of those older people that somebody looks at and says, man, it must be exciting to be a Christian. Amen. For the one who takes it serious, they're like a tree planted by the rivers of water. They bring forth fruit, they're productive, the leaf doesn't wither. And he says in verse number 3, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What does it mean to prosper? Well, the immediate idea is to be successful or to succeed. But it also means to thrive and to flourish. Now, you and I live in this prosperity gospel world, do we not? And so people of a certain persuasion in their doctrinal positions, they would read this and they would say, well, see, if you take your Christian life serious, here's what's going to happen. You're going to prosper, you're going to be wealthy, you're going to get the promotion, you're going to be the person that lives in the nicest house on the block, and you're going to drive the nicest car on the street, and your kids are going to be this, and your family's going to be this, and your wife will be this, and your husband will be this, and that'll be evidence that you take the Christian life serious. Well, we know that to be garbage, right? For me to prosper, I do not have to be rich. Now, should God choose to bless us with wealth as a part of us prospering, that is His business. But wealth is not an indication of God's blessing and a person's seriousness in their relationship with the Lord. If that were so, then some of the most blessed godly people would be the ones who claim to not even believe in God. Because they're multi-millionaires, they are billionaires, but they don't believe in God. And so you can't reconcile those two things. Well, if I take my relationship with God serious, I'll be wealthy. No, that's not at all what the Scripture says. But what the Scripture is saying is this, is that what I do, if I take my Christian life serious, I will thrive and I will flourish. I will do well in what I do. I don't mean to just hit the same old highlights that I hit all the time, I'm sure. But if I am taking my spiritual life serious, I will have a marriage that thrives. It's going to flourish. I will have a marriage that looks different than 99% of other people's marriages. I mean, people will look at that and go, man, that doesn't make any sense in today's world with everything that's going on. I mean, you shouldn't have that kind of a marriage. Well, I understand, but could I explain to you why this is so? I want you to understand, a long time ago, we decided we're not going to try to operate and function in our marriage the way the world tells us to. We're just going to try to do what the Word of God says, and we're going to live according to the Word of God. And we truly believe that it's because of our desire to adhere to the truth of God's Word that we've had a marriage that has flourished and that has thrived for all these years. Doesn't mean that I'm going to have perfect kids, but I will have a family that thrives and flourishes in comparison, especially in today's society with the families and the messes that are prevalent all around us. God help us if we have a normal family. I will thrive and I will flourish in anything that I put my hand to. Not that I'm going to be rich and successful and get the attaboys from everyone in this world, but what it means is this, is I will do well and I will be fine with whatever I put my hand to. I find it amazing whenever you look at so many people today and they call themselves Christians and they would suggest they're serious. They would say, oh man, I take my spiritual life serious. And yet they can never, ever seem to get their business together. Something's not right. When the family stays in a constant state of turmoil, when the marriage stays in a constant state of turmoil, when the finances stay in a constant state of turmoil, when the person's emotions stay in a constant state of turmoil, something screams to me, something isn't right there. Because if things were right, they would be doing better than what they are doing right now. Someone says, well, Kyle, you've got no right or room to say that. I do have the right and the room to say that because it's what the Word of God says. That if a person says, I reject the world's way of thinking and I'm not going to run with sinners and I'm not going to sit with the scorner and I am going to fall in love with the Word of God and I'm going to meditate on the Word of God, I am going to take my life serious or my spiritual life serious, then there are results that I'll be able to see and that you'll be able to see and other people will be able to see. And some of it includes this. I will be grounded and I'll be established and the world will not dictate my every move. And there's going to be fruit from my spiritual life. And the Word of God and the things of God and the presence of God, it's going to be more important and mean more to me in the future. My leaf is not going to wither. And whatever I do, I'll do well. I'll thrive. I'll flourish. Now this evening, that's what the Scripture says. I want to ask you something. And this is strictly, obviously, between you and the Lord. But are the results visible in your life of the person who takes their spiritual life serious? Are the results there? Are you a person of conviction? And I don't mean just the homosexual agenda. I mean, are you a person of conviction? Do you stand on your convictions, regardless of who is trying to pull you, regardless of what is trying to sway you? Are you a person of conviction? Or can this person sway you? Or can this person sway you? Or can this person sway you? Listen, if you can be swayed, there's something not right in your approach to your spiritual life. What kind of fruit has come from your life lately? Where can you see the investment paying off that you have put into someone else? What kind of fruit have you produced lately? Can we sit here this evening and say, you know what? My leaf is not fading. My leaf is not withering. My leaf is not dying. No, I can truly say I love the Lord as much today as I did years past, and I love Him more today than I have loved Him in years past, and it's just getting sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. Do we have that kind of a testimony? Because sometimes it doesn't look like we've got that kind of a testimony. And then could it be our testimony? Could it be our testimony that what we're doing is thriving and what we're doing is flourishing? Again, not from a monetary, worldly standpoint, but can you look back at what you are engaged in and say, you know what? I can see the obvious hand of God's blessing in my life. If some of those results aren't in our life, if those results are not prevalent, if we can't look and say, okay, these things are taking place and these things are happening in my life, then you know what that indicates? We're not doing something right. We're really not. Well, I feel like I am. Well, then you've got to reconcile with what you feel with the Word of God. But understand, the Word of God's not worried about our feelings. The Word of God says, here's what it is. Here's the nuts and bolts of it. And either you're in agreement with this or you're not. But I'm just telling you, the Word of God's not going to change for any of our feelings. Are the results visible of a serious relationship with God as a child of God? Let's all stand tonight and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight to be willing to just do some simple inventory of our lives. Lord, I pray that you'd help us this evening to just consider these four areas that were mentioned tonight and just be willing to ask ourselves.